You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Sutton and I talk time on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast.
Before, but never one like this.
But the whistle goes down. Delight for Sutton United. Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League for the first time.
Hello and welcome to another episode, a special episode of Sutton United Talk Time on Podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast in association with Lucky Star Gin. I'm your host, Mike, and yes, I lied to you. I said it, I'll be back on Sunday, but here I am midweek and I have a very special guest. This is a good reason. I'm here with Paul Brunson. Welcome, Paul. Thank you very so much for your time. I'm always amazed and grateful when people give me their time, and then I'm looking at your workload and I'm like, how has he fit me in at all?
Mike, I have to say this too, is when you sent over the, you know, the ask if I can come on the podcast, my assistant, right, she said, Paul, okay, we're booking podcast interviews. We're booking them right now in November, December. So what do you think? Is November or December better for this one? I said, no, let's do it this week. She said, do it this week. I said, no, let's do it this week. That's how excited I am to talk to Mike.
I did start my email to her saying, I messaged him on Instagram and this must be the bane of your life. And he's gone, yeah, we'll do it. I was utterly amazed that you could do it. I wanted to just find out a little bit about you because I'm not massively familiar with some of the work you've done. I've looked into it the last few days and I'm guessing the crossover from some of the shows you've done and people who listen to League Two podcasts might not be huge. I mean, there's people, we saw it in the bar at Sutton, there's people who do clearly watch it. But we'll find out a little bit more. As always, everyone, I do my little speech about engagement. Please do like, share, retweets at Sutton Podcasts on social medias. And I really love it when people do it. And thank you to everyone who does it. So, apart from being unduly excited, how are you, Paul?
You know, I'm good, you know, but really I'm excited. And in part, you know, one is I'm excited to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk about a passion that we have, right, in Sutton United. I'm excited to talk about a topic that I don't think I've ever talked about in my career. Like what literally is I did two podcast interviews this morning. And it's all about, you know, reality TV, yeah. It's about dating shows, it's about marriage. So to get a chance to do this is fun.
Well, we'll cover some of that, but there are literally, as I was trying to find some information, there are loads and loads of podcast interviews. So there's other things. If you're interested in anything we discuss, if I don't cover it in depth, just search for it. Paul's done loads of work. I mean, there's only 24 hours in a day, man. I have no idea how you do it. But you've done so many podcasts, TV interviews. You've worked with Oprah.
Yes.
I'm not daunted by any of this. I know it's going to be the best. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Obviously, you're not born in St. Helier Hospital, so you've had a life to come to this point in the UK. Just your kind of your personal life, or as much as you want to share. But yeah, your little bit of your history and early career, or we'll come on to that afterwards. Actually, do your growing ups.
Absolutely. So I was born in New York in the United States. Grew up early in Jamaica, Queens, namely because I'm second generation Jamaican. My mother is from Jamaica. My father's from South Carolina. So and you kind of get that a lot. You got people from either immigrants or people from the South marrying or dating people from the North. Right. So they met in New York. You know, they had me. And in my early stages, I would say I was very entrepreneurial focused. I was the guy that had my own business at 12, you know, selling soda to the construction workers in our neighborhood. I then went off to university. I studied business law. I then graduated and I went into finance. So my first career, probably 6-7 years, my first career was investment banking.
All right.
Yeah, so I worked for a big investment bank in the States. I also worked for a very wealthy Turkish family and I managed their investments in the United States. So I did all that. Went to business school. So I went off, got my master's degree. And I thought my career was going to be finance. And I thought that was it. And my life changed when I was working at a summer camp. And it was a camp where it was students, or should I say young people, they were high school students. So that would be, I'm trying to figure out what that means here. I think that would be like year 11, year 10.
Yeah, 16, yes, it's 16-ish, 15, 16. Yeah.
Yeah, right around that age. And they were in this summer camp and we were giving them tutoring on math and sciences, that kind of thing. And one of the questions we asked was, how many parents live in the household, right? That was in the intake. How many parents live in the household?
Yeah.
Not one of 100 kids, Mike, not one had both mother and father living with them. Most of them just lived with mom or with grandmother or with auntie. So there was very little male presence in the household. Mm-hmm. And that put me in the mind state of, well, what else could we be doing? And that's where this whole idea around strengthening the family, matchmaking, that's where this idea came about. And so fast forward a year of just thinking about this, I quit my job working with the Turkish family. I then launch a matchmaking agency with my wife. And in order to announce the agency, we created a YouTube series. Now, this is 2008. So this is way before people, like, this is a very sophisticated platform you have us on. All of this, before all of this, before Zoom, before all of these, YouTube wasn't the hot place. It wasn't where you would go to create content that you could then monetize. But we created a YouTube series called The Modern Day Matchmaker, and no one would watch this thing. And I would say that we would post a new video every week. It would get 11 views. And my mother was watching 9, right? So it was like, nobody was watching this thing. But it turns out that Oprah Winfrey was one of the people watching. And she then eventually gives me an offer, an offer to co-host a television show with her. Now, I had never done TV before, never wanted to do TV, but she thought I was a fresh voice in the relationship space. And so that was 2010. And so 2010, what happens is I then have now been running my matchmaking agency for about a year. I then start my television career. And then this television career grows with the matchmaking agency. Fast forward 7 years, my wife and I have now sold our matchmaking agency. I've now appeared on different TV shows, become a columnist for USA Today in the United States.
Yeah.
We were then, as a family, we were thinking of semi-retiring and going to Jamaica. Then I get a call that says, hey, Paul, there's a show in London, England called Celebs Go Dating. They're looking for a co-host. Would you be interested? So my wife and I thought, okay, what we'll do is we'll come over to London for 3 months, shoot this show, see all of the UK, like we'll drive around the UK, check it out, and then just go back to the US. And so we came over in 2018, the summer, did 3 months, went back to the US as soon as the show was over. The show got picked up for another series immediately. We then pick everyone up, come back. I have my two boys, and myself and my wife. And long story short is, the show keeps getting picked up back to back to back. Then I landed another show, Married at First Sight UK. Then I landed other projects. So it got to the point where we realized we would just stay. And last year, we officially became residents of the UK. So we're official residents now. My boys are in school. We live in South London. I do, you know, I'm on two TV shows here. Just launched a big podcast with Stephen Bartlett. I am an author. I'm a public speaker. I have launched many businesses, you know. So that's me in a nutshell. Yeah.
Busy. One of the things that you said there, obviously you mentioned your mum, second generation. Now I'm third generation Irish. So the Jamaican and Irish, very, very similar.
Very.
I could not imagine saying, yeah, I've got a really nice big career in finance and I'm going to go and be a matchmaker, Mum. I'm giving all that up. How'd that conversation go?
Yeah, no, I mean, just as you said, it's like, and it wasn't just my mom. Although, you know what's interesting? My mother was a supporter. So my mother, my wife, and my best friend, who, you know, may he rest in peace, he passed away. But those three people were supporters around this idea of doing something new. Mm-hmm. Everyone else told me, don't do it. You've got the sweetest career, like, yeah. You know, don't do it. But I leaped out. And one thing to mention too is I'm so glad that you talked about the Irish Jamaican connection, because a lot of people don't realize how much that connection is. So when I did my DNA, my ancestry DNA, a large portion of it is Irish. A large portion of it is Irish.
When I was growing up, there's a place in North London called Kilburn, and literally every single person I met was Asian, West Indian, or Irish. It took me till about 12 years old to meet someone who said they were English. I was like, no, but you must have something else. I can't just be it. Also, one other thing, I was just as I was reading things and trying to make a little picture of mine, how did you feel about Will Smith playing you in Hitch?
We need someone more handsome. You know what's wild is, so everyone says that, not everyone, but a lot of people will say, okay, well, Will Smith played me. But in actuality, my career started right after the film. right after Hitch. But do you know that Will Smith did play, there was a dating coach.
Oh, was there?
Yes, in the US, I met him, that Will Smith ended up playing. But what's fascinating is the dating coach was like a white guy who was like 45 years old. And Will Smith was like in his late 20s, early 30s, black guy, you know. Like,
ooh.
So Will Smith did actually play a real life.
I didn't know how to play the real. That's good. It is quite niche. I know you mentioned about the camp of the matchmaking, you're hearing about the kids and the two parents thing, but it does seem quite sort of niche to go, right, this is what I'm going to do. How did the idea come to you, and how did you kind of, I'm not asking you to give away your trade secrets, but what's the process? What do you say? Do you just go, oh, you two will do it together?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm happy to go into any detail that you want. it is definitely niche, right? But one of the things that I learned from business, from my entrepreneurial career before matchmaking, is that that's what you want. You want to figure out what is, you know, people say, sometimes people call a niche a niche.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
No. But it is a niche. But people call a niche, and they'll say there's riches in niches, yeah. Right? So the whole idea is that you want to find a space that is super small, but very few people are in. And that also is called a blue ocean, right? A blue ocean. So I was always on the lookout for what could be a blue ocean, but also you have to identify what it is that you're passionate about, that you could do, like, clearly, Mike, you're passionate about this pod. Like, you are. And so you find the things that you're passionate about, you find the things that are a niche, but then you also find out the things that you believe you have a unique skill set, right? And where those three match up, that's a great idea. That's a great business idea. So those three matched up for me. And in terms of our process, I'm really proud, we inspired many new concepts within matchmaking. One of our most successful that is used all the way through to the point where we use it on Married at First Sight, so it shows you how long we've been doing it, is what my wife and I coined the 360 interview.
Yeah.
Where we would interview, let's say that you were our client, right? I mean, you were a client. We would interview previous girlfriends or boyfriends, right? Mm-hmm. We would interview people who you work for. People who work for you. We would interview friends, right? We interview your entire, what we call 360 around you.
Yeah.
And we would use that to create a profile, because most of us have what's called cognitive dissonance. We think we know who we are, but we actually don't know how we show up. But your friends and family, the consensus of your friends and family, they know. So we would use the friends and family, blah, 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 come up with a profile. And that was one of our, trade secrets that we use to really create a lot of success in our business.
Up until about 10, 15 years ago, I would have confused you very much, because I was a completely different person here, talking to this person, then talking to this person. And then I thought, oh, this is just too complicated. I'm just going to be me now. When I start getting older, I can't be bothered with these masks. But as you were speaking now, I was reading my next question. And I was like, this just leads really nicely. I can see it, but the motivational life coaching that you do as well. Again, what's involved there? I mean, you've given a little example straight away of this is what you need to do and this is where you need to focus. Yeah. But how do you do that?
You know what's wild? A lot of people call, there was an article today in the Daily Mail. I try not to read my stuff, but there was an article today in the Daily Mail that listed me as a life coach. I've never been a life coach a day in my life.
Okay.
Never. Like, but people just assign that to me. Like, I've never.
Fair enough.
Never been.
I can assure you it comes up on searches.
Yeah. It's like, I've never been one. Yeah. People are always like, yeah, he's a life coach. I was like, no, I'm not. But that's
what okay. Fair enough. So we can't say how that started. Someone just misaligned what you're doing. They're completely different, but the presenting and the authoring, the writing, do you have a preference to either one? Is it you happily manage both? Because I know, is it two, three books or more? Maybe more.
Yeah, so I right now I have a three-book deal with Penguin. Yeah. So we published the first one this February. And every February until 2026, I've got another one coming. So
okay.
I'm working on my second book now, which is actually, the manuscript is due in July. Without a doubt, the number one thing that I love most is being on stage live. So being live, talking about the concepts that we've unpacked in the book. That's number one for me. And then everything else is like a close second. So actually writing the book, doing the research around the book, the interviews, the promotion of the book, being on TV, you know, for TV, whereas it's a blessing is I don't do TV. I think a lot of people do TV for the celebrity of it. I try to distance myself from the celebrity. Now, they're cool pieces that come with being, you know, there's some cool things that come with it. But for me, outside of if I'm getting paid more, then I don't want the stuff. But what I do love about TV is it allows me to be able to speak to a wide number of people. You know, my shows are in the evening when people are at home, they're sitting in their living rooms. Mm. And to allow this American, right, to come into their homes and talk is a privilege, you know? So that's a larger reason why I do it. But yeah, I love it all, man. I love it all.
Well, I'd start asking about the projects you're currently working on. You've mentioned the books. What else is kind of in the pipeline for you?
Oh man, so much. I'll run down all the things that I'm currently doing. So I am finishing up my second book right now. We are finishing up filming the new series of Married at First Sight UK. Mm-hmm. We have already started the casting for 2025's Married at First Sight UK. I am preparing to start filming Celebs Go Dating. So literally before this, I was talking to the executive producer about the schedule for Married at First Sight UK. I have a third TV show.
Right.
That I am right now trying to work out the dates to film, which would be filming this summer. My biggest project is my new digital series that I've partnered with Stephen Bartlett and his new company Flight Studios. We just shot the pilot for that one yesterday. So that one is coming. I'm a public speaker. So next week, for example, next Saturday, every month I speak somewhere in the world twice on average. Wow. So next week I'm going to Stratford. The week after I'm going to Croatia.
Okay.
To speak to keynote a conference in Croatia. So I speak. I also do social media. People make a ton of revenue on social media. So I have lots of partnerships right now. So right now, my current partnership is with TUI Blue, where we're doing a lot of work on holidays.
Yeah.
People showing up on holidays. I've been in development on a new company that I've been working on. I have a team that's been working on that since the end of last year. This company is an assessment tool to help assess where we are with our well-being, with our mental health, and to provide insights based on that. So that one is launching in June. That's a big one that I'm on. So these are all of my projects right now.
Wow. Wow. I did see, I said it was a lot, but I didn't actually realize it was that much. I'm going to chuck in a couple horrible ones now. Outside of the things that you're currently working on, because obviously they're going to be the best ever, what professional job has given you the most joy? I said professional because obviously you're a son, a husband, a father, they come as standard. But what professional job would you sit back and go, I really like that?
Man, you're talking about from everything that I do.
And the one you kind of sit back and go, let me just enjoy that. Let me think of a day that was great. Mind you, the way your attitude is, you could come home every day and go, say it was great.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I like it. I like them all because I created this lane. Like to your earlier question, which was a brilliant question, was like, how'd you tell your mom that you wanted to be a matchmaker? Nobody, wait. When I, in 2007, 2008, when I was talking about this career, right? And everyone around me, for the most part, right? But most of the people around me said, don't do it. Why? Because they couldn't foresee. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a vision that I had around what I wanted to do. Now, I got into this, I could say 10 toes deep, right? And I never thought it would take me to where it's taking me. I mean, look at this. I'm talking to you from my home in South London. I never thought I would move outside of the US. And now here I am living in a different culture, building friendships with new people. My kids are in school here. They are now going to have a different life than they would have had in the United States. Like, all of this is because I've just stepped out on risk, really.
Yeah.
And so the way that I see what I do now is I don't see it as I have one career or one profession. I'm sorry, multiple careers or multiple professions. I see it as one profession, but I have different responsibilities within that profession.
Okay, very good. There is an opposite question, but I won't ask it because then that means you burn bridges. Maybe when you retire, we'll say, well, which was the worst? So we might do that. One other thing on my searches, I loved this name, and I just feel you have to have like a Barry White-esque voice saying it. You're known as the Love Guru. But obviously, you do all this 360 and all the other stuff, and you're there at the start. Do you, especially thinking back to the what sort of inspired you or triggered the thing, do you or your company, did you ever get involved when some of the shine wears off and the petty annoyances start? Like, I always have this brand of toothpaste, but they keep buying this brand of toothpaste and all those silly little things, because it does happen to everyone.
Oh, no, it does. It does. The honeymoon period wears off. You know, So yes, and I'll tell you kind of how it started is that when we started, the whole objective was just to match. Mm-hmm. So it was like, find Mike a partner. And the moment that the two of you said that you are dating exclusively, we were gone. We were out. But then what inevitably happened is that you would be dating the partner for 3 months and there would be an issue. And who would you come? You'd come back to us because you know, we matched you. You feel comfortable. Yeah. And that's where the counseling piece and the coaching piece started to build in our business. And we got to a point where we owned what we call the whole continuum from dating to marriage, which for a lot of people, marriage didn't happen for 2-3 years, right? Or sometimes there was never the marriage. It was just, we're going to, like, it's the predominant coupling, you know, category right now is cohabitating, not actually getting married. So we own that whole continuum. And so absolutely, I mean, I've seen the craziest things you could imagine, you know?
Yeah, well, our one was, you've got 20 years where you're not being engaged, not for any ridiculous reason, it just never got round to it. And then our nice romantic story was we realized that, the Saturday of our 20th anniversary was a Saturday. And it's like, oh, do you know what? We might as well get married. It's a weekend. We'll do it.
Oh, wait, it was just like that.
So the two of us were like, okay, let's do it. So yeah, we've been 30 years. And we often say when people go, oh God, you've been together for ages. Like, yeah, because I've balanced up my annoyances to her annoyances. And we kind of balance each other out. And you think, oh, that you're the person I want to annoy for the rest of my life. So that's how we've gone through it. Yeah. I want somebody else to annoy me. Right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're going to switch focus now to what I hooked you in for. First question, very relevant, considering the niche and the niches. Football or soccer?
So, right now, in my life, there's only one way to go. And that's football.
Okay. I've known fans who have supported the club for decades, who supported because their parents supported, because of amazing cup runs, promotions. I've even had people supporting because of football stickers, meeting people with football stickers, and playing FIFA on the PlayStation. Drawn out of a hat on TV is a new one. Did you know it was happening? Tell me through the experience.
No, Mike, I will give you the inside, like the backstory that I don't think anybody knows, the backstory to this. So for the last, I've been in the UK for 5 years, right? Been a resident for now almost two. And I frequent a lot of these TV shows to promote the projects that I'm on. So
yep.
I've been on Sunday Brunch 5 times now. And when I go on these TV shows, one of the first questions I'm asked backstage is, do I support a football team? Right? Now, one of the jobs I forgot to mention is I'm also the relationship expert on Lorraine.
Okay.
And the reason why I bring that up now is because I was backstage last year at Lorraine, and the host of the day asked me, do you support a team? And I said, I don't. It turned out that her husband was the manager at Chelsea.
Oh, okay.
So she then got she also asked, she said, do you support a team? I said, no, not yet. Have you ever been to a match? I said, no. So she got these beautiful box seats for me at Chelsea. So that was my first football experience.
Right.
Going to Chelsea, my boys, my wife were sitting there, these very plush seats were at Chelsea. It was Chelsea versus Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will never forget about that game is that the Newcastle fans, which it was maybe 1 to 10 Newcastle fans, they were louder.
They were loud, yeah.
The entire thing. And also what I remember is that everyone was kind of, was cordial,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't feel like we were being welcomed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was okay, nice, but it wasn't welcome.
Mm-hmm.
When the team scored, it was a nod. It was yes.
Yeah.
So long story short is that was our own script.
Yeah.
So when I was backstage that morning at Sunday Brunch, both Tim and Simon had asked me, they said, hey, do you support a team yet? And I said, you know, I've been to Chelsea, but I haven't supported a team. They said, okay. They didn't say anything else. We start, you know, recording the show, and literally they bring up out of the blue, so Paul, you don't support a team, right? Then Tim Lovejoy, he asks me, so that we go to a commercial break, he comes up and he said, Paul, would you mind if we put all the teams in a bucket and you pick one? And he was like, you know, you could do whatever you want with it. Like, we're going to have a good time with it. I said, go ahead, do it. So they put all the teams in the bucket. He comes, puts it in front of me. I then select a piece of paper. I hand it next to me to Craig David.
Yeah.
Sitting next to me. Craig David, all I remember was I saw Craig David and I saw Wes Nelson right next to him. And all I remember was Craig opens the card. Wes starts laughing.
Yeah.
Craig David is like, he doesn't even know he's ever seen the name before.
Yeah, yeah.
So he says, I think it's Sutton United. People in the room start laughing. Uh-huh. I'm thinking to myself, what's so funny? What's going on here, right? What's so funny? They then do the research, right, and tell me that Sutton at that time, I think, was even below.
We were bottom, yeah.
The screen, yeah, in the table. So that's how it began. Like, that's how this whole thing began.
So you were furiously Googling us off, when you're off camera going, who the hell are these? In all honesty, one of the reasons I wanted to check is because a 1 in 92 chance, and there are teams, Carlisle, there's teams all over the place, and it's like, well, it's actually worked out quite well because you've mentioned you live in South London, so you're quite close. And I put down, if you had drawn a Premier League club, it would have been nice, but it wouldn't have been quite the same experience for you. And Claire, the supporters liaison officer, I don't know if you actually got to meet her, she was just lounging around on Sunday and suddenly was like, what? Wait, rewind this, let me see what's happened. And it just jumped into furious action trying to get, we hooked you before, while the idea was fresh.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's actually what hooked me, because between the commercial breaks, mm-hmm. I actually didn't research.
All right.
What happened was, between the commercial breaks, it was all like laughter and jokes and that kind of thing. And then I think it was already, this shows you how quick Sutton was a tweet was sent. Posted that said, you know, Paul, we hear you're the newest member of the Amber Army. We welcome you to come to a match. In my mind, I'm thinking, if this team, or maybe it's just the social media person or whatever behind this, already is that quick, is that gracious, then I need to oblige. Like, my whole life is stepping into the unknown, but being open about it. And you never know where it's going to lead you. So when that happened and they mentioned that on air, I said, I'll go. And that's when the jokes started even more. Like, You're never gonna go. So it was that tweet.
So I would kind of knew about it. Then a little group was going off, and I was like, what? And then sort of saw it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a bit of a publicity stunt. You've mentioned, obviously, you've been to Chelsea before. How were you feeling? You're kind of rocking up. Oh, I know what football's like. And you turn up to our stadium, and everyone's just wandering around, and it's like, were you a little bit? This isn't in the right place. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm a researcher, Mike. So I definitely watched a couple videos, right? And I looked at the stadium. So I was like, okay, it's a different situation, right? But one thing to know too is I know nothing about football. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I didn't understand. Now, fast forward to today, I'm obsessed. So just within what has been 2 months, maybe?
I think it's a month since you came down. I think it's about 6 weeks it happened, and then it was a month since we had a home game.
Okay, so 6 weeks. Yeah. In 6 weeks, I've gone from I know nothing, and I'm not really interested. Like, I never watched any of the games or anything. I never kept up with what the teams do. But within that period of going, I've become hooked. So I got to that first game and loved it. My son loved it. Had such a good time hanging out with everybody afterwards at the bar. It was one of those.
Yep.
I loved it to the point where the next 48 hours, I binged Sunderland Till I Die.
Oh, right. Okay.
I binged it. I watched all of the seasons. I think there's three seasons.
Yeah.
I watched all three of them back to back. No sleeping, coffee, right? back to back. And in those three seasons, I learned about the leagues, the EFL, ownership. I learned about the fans, the connection with the community, the importance of the players. Like, I really, that became my first introduction to what football is. And then I became hooked. Then I started watching all the sudden games. I was traveling to I was buying the iFollow
tickets,
watching the tickets. So I was
Well, there's one moment I was told this secondhand, and I've made this into a thing in my imagination, which I find incredibly funny. You've kind of gone up to the boardroom, you're getting introduced to people, and then basically your boy was kidnapped and taken away downstairs, and you're like, what's happening here? Were you concerned that someone had just stolen your child?
Yeah, it was one of those where I everything felt surreal, you know, but to go back to the contrast between Chelsea and Sutton was, I felt welcomed at Sutton. So I felt safe. I was like, my boy's safe here. You know, it just everything felt good.
Yeah.
No, it felt good, you know?
Yeah. I have often said we're a bunch of weirdos, but we're a nice bunch of weirdos, and we leave each other be weird in our own way. I mean, the match you came to was the Accrington Stanley match, where we wore this beautiful kit for the very first time. I want it to be next year's kit. I'm not sure I'm going to get my way. But before we talk about the actual match, did you know anything about the Marsden Hospital? I mean, I live in Sutton, and I'm just awed that we have this world-class facility. Literally, I could walk there. Did you know anything about it at all, or you looked at it since? Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
I know you've got the shirt
because
I saw you in it.
So. Yeah, and I've researched the hospital. A matter of fact, I was going to go with the team.
To
the hospital, but I had a shoot that day.
Yeah.
So, but no, I didn't know. Honestly, Mike, I had never been to Sutton.
Okay.
For that first match, never set foot.
No. Well, the match went really well. I guess coming up in American football's not the top sport, but there was an absolutely beautiful goal scored by Nino.
Yes.
Did you know that was a good goal, or did you just realise from everyone's reaction that, oh, that was something?
Yeah, I was completely, I mean, imagine a three-year-old watching watching like I knew nothing. Literally, do you know that because I was just at, you know, you saw me, I was just at the last game, I was asking the person next to me to explain offsides to me, especially that one goal that was pulled back. So I'm still learning, but I love it because it's new to me, because I played American football, basketball, tennis, like, but this is new to me.
Yeah, I saw you did your little video, and it was pointed out to me that I was in the distance in my bright yellow coat. Someone spotted me, and I was like, "Yay!" So, as I said, I was kind of skeptical. This is the PR thing.
Yeah.
And then I saw you in the bar afterwards. First of all, I feel like I should apologise on behalf of the club, but. You seemed like you were really enjoying yourself with the photos, the chit-chats with different people. You were on the chair shouting with a bright blue jacket on.
Yeah.
You mentioned the word surreal earlier. How were you in the bar?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember everything that. But all I know is I had a good time. Yeah. You know, I try to live life with open-mindedness, you know, and it was just a last minute thing where someone grabbed my son and somebody said everybody's in the bar. I was like, okay, let's go down to the bar. So I really enjoyed it, you know. It's one of these where it's good to be able to check in. This seems so basic, but I think it's always good to just take a moment, pause, and ask yourself, how do I feel in this moment?
Mm.
Do I feel under threat or do I not? That's the question. And actually it goes back to science and polyvagal theory, where polyvagal theory is essentially this whole notion of we, at every moment of our life, we are either under threat or we're not. That's where fight or flight, the fight or flight response comes from. So if you are under threat, what happens? You don't want to be there anymore. You might be sweating. You're not really listening. You're on edge because you're looking out, right? So there's the under threat. But then if you're not under threat, what happens? You take it in the moment. You're really listening. You could understand. And what I realized was, go back to the Chelsea game. I said I didn't feel comfortable. In essence, in my body, I feel under threat. Because if you don't feel comfortable, it means you're under threat.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean physically someone's trying to attack you. It just means that you don't feel as if you are fully comfortable. You can just exhale.
Yeah.
Every moment at Sutton has always been no threat. It's been, you know what I mean?
Good, yeah.
So you have to check in with yourself and always feel that. So that's how I felt at the bar. And that's why I said
Well, I messaged you the next day and I was just like, how did you enjoy it? And you said you did enjoy it, but more importantly, your son loved it.
Yeah.
And that was the moment I knew that we had you, and I knew that the PR stunt had gone way too far. And it wasn't a PR stunt at all. You were like, what is all this? Oh my God, this is insane. I love it. Obviously, we didn't know at that point it was a one-off. It was just, yeah, he's come down, that's fine. Isn't it fun? Isn't it great? But you've been to, is it two or three games now? Two.
Yeah. I've been to two, but watch. You know what's interesting? I've never seen Sutton lose. Do you know that?
Ooh, lovely. Beautiful. So yeah, you watched on iFollow.
Yes.
Again, that was a bit odd because it was, I think it was a Saturday. It's all, oh, can't watch it on a Saturday. And then it's all amazing Germany or something. And it's like, oh yeah, you're allowed to watch it internationally. Been asked to ask you, especially with what you just said, are you planning on coming to MK Dons on Saturday?
you know, so I actually would.
Yeah,
but I'm filming Married at First Sight. Yeah.
Oh, so, of course.
Yeah. So I'm working the whole weekend, but you better believe I will be. I mean, last
checking
night,
schools, yeah.
I was checking the Colchester.
Oh no.
Is it Colchester?
Colchester. Doncaster. Yeah.
Yeah, I was checking it. So I'm hooked. Like I'm hooked. I've already calculated the points and the spread. I was like, okay.
Oh my God, we've got a little WhatsApp group of a lot of the people that come on, and I pick up the phone and suddenly there's like 20, 30 messages and it's all people doing different calculations. I'm like, I can't cope with this. So,
but you know what, Mike, help me understand this because I'm still learning. So I understand points and I know that we need to win, Colchester needs to lose. But if we win, Colchester loses, then it goes to what goals scored.
Goals different. So
goals different.
Yeah. So when you win a game 3-1, for example, you're on plus 2 goals. And if they win the game if they lose the game 1-0, they lose one of their goals. But we need 5 between the two games because they have scored more goals than us. So the tie gets tighter and tighter. So if same points, it then goes to the goal difference, which is how much you've won games by, then goals scored, and then annoyingly for us, it goes on how many games you've won, which they've won, even if they lose and we win, they've won one more than us. So we don't want it to be split like that. Ideally, we'd like them to lose heavily and us win heavily. So Harry, Josh, etc., get on it first 20 minutes. That'd be nice.
Well, so it's possible, though. But I see how hard it is, but mathematically it's possible.
I've been using this for a little while. Just because it's not probable doesn't mean it's not possible. Mm. And a few months ago, just a little bit before Steve came, everyone was assuming we're relegated and that's it, we go down a division. And now we've managed to take it to the final day, which is an achievement from where we were a few months ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And that's a new, obviously, thing for you, the whole promotion relegation thing of they finish bottom, we go down.
But can I say I like that versus how in the States, you know, everything basically is a playoff, you know, and a championship in the States. But I like the relegation promotion system. I get it. And I mean the nerd in me went back. So I was looking at the different leagues in the National League and and C. Sutton was, I mean, you know, was there, you yeah, know, yeah. promoted yeah. up. So, yeah, yeah it's interesting. Yeah.
This is the highest level of football we've ever played in our 126 years. So I know some people will be very upset and there's obviously possible job losses, but we're just going to go back to a division that we've been at for years. So for me, it doesn't really matter. I'll be there standing on that same spot for the next, well, I won't because I'll develop it, but I'll be standing there for the next however many years watching whatever level of football. So, but I'm sure we'll see you again next season. I'll talk to you properly rather than that stupid mind. there is one last quick question for you. How did I do compared to Oprah and so on?
You know what?
No comment.
You know what, Mike, I will say is that here's the key. The key is, are you passionate about what you're doing? You're passionate about what you're doing, and it shows. That's all. You know, honestly, it's like people will always forget what you say, but they won't forget how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And it's through your passion is how you made them feel. So, man, I thought you were brilliant. I thought you were tenacious to come at me for the interview. You were prepared. You did your research. You've got your Sutton paraphernalia up. And I wanted to show you this. Yeah. I had this that I just got right here.
See that?
I wanted to buy. So I went to buy the one that just has the stripes.
All right, the bar one.
And someone said that's the old man one. I was like, well, then I want that one. I like that one, you know. But I think you did it.
Was it by any chance the guy selling you the more expensive one that said it was the one?
So this costs more.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. There must have been a reason.
That's probably what it is.
I feel proper cheeky, but I will wrap it up because we have got more than I said. This wraps up the episode of Sutton Podcast. As always, we appreciate your ear attention. I still haven't replaced that ear attention cup, but your feedback, follow, like, share at Sutton Podcast on social media. Don't forget, there are loads of interviews with Paul, and you can listen to lots of different things about his career. The story about him being picked up by Oprah and all that is actually really, really good. Like, subscribe on your podcast platforms, and we're going to, I promise this time, everyone, it'll be Sunday. Next time I speak to you. But until then, thank you to our sponsors, Lucky Star Gin. A big thank you and welcome to the Sutton United family, to today's guest, Paul. Thanks to everyone listening. And take care. I will see you soon with Dan, Neil and Paul to either have a morning session or an absolutely unbelievable great escape. Take care. Bye-bye.
United! United!
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.